Hello again, everyone. It's Kaz Beal, and this is Casual Conversations, a program where we speak to people from around the world who are very important to our world. Today, we have a very special guest. He's a legendary news videographer, photographer, editor, and now he is a filmmaker. He is Tim Stollery. Welcome, Tim. How are you?
Thank you, Kaz. Thank you for having me on Casual Conversations. This is very exciting.
Well, it should be because you're the guest. That's what makes it exciting. Have us on our beautiful. And by the way, if you're listening this on audio and you want to see how great and handsome Tim and I look, you can go in and check out the video on YouTube, on Facebook, other places. So check it out. But if you don't want to see what we look like, listen to the audio. Great information. All right.
Well, so check Tim, it out because I have more hair than Kaz.
Okay. That's true. Well, mine is more styled than yours, so. And I don't have a beard like you. So Tim, tell me about your history here. How did you start in the video business? I guess the news, and let's go to where we are later. Go ahead.
Well, I went to Rutgers and I had an internship, and you and I interned together at Cross Country Cable TV, famously. And early on, when I was at school, I thought I would be a print reporter. And I do like print reporting, but man, once you get a hold of a camera, it's just something happens. And then once you get inside an edit room, that really, really kind of opened my eyes to, you know, cutaways and different shots. So I guess I was shooting for either the Targum or the Livingston Medium under the hoop at the rack. And I saw these guys with this big blue camera, and they were from NJPTV, which is what New Jersey Network was called at the time. And I had a still camera, and I just thought, man, that looks really cool. And I asked them about it, and they told me, you know, what they do, and it's New Jersey Public Television. And I thought, man, I have to check that out. And so when it was time for an internship at Rutgers, instead of going to like the home news or a local newspaper, I heard about Cross Country Cable TV, and I thought, that's a place where I can do a lot of stuff, as you know, because that's where you did a lot of stuff.
So no, it's a legendary beginning. If you go to Somerville, it's on Division Street. There's a restaurant there now, but last year I went there. I posed a photo picture of that behind there. Asked people, do people know where that is? But that's where early days of cable started. I mean, I remember watching CNN, I think June 1, 1980 or so, first CNN launch, when they launched there, something strange called ESPN. And then I tell people what was weird, we all thought at the time, was saying, who the heck would watch weather 24 hours a day? A weather channel? That was freaky. Like, you know, back then but we were in the golden age of cable back then. I mean, everything was starting. And like Ted Turner said, you know, we were cable before cable was cool. Remember that?
I remember that quote. And I used to, I would quote tweet that or tweet quote that. And I don't do Twitter, but I would repeat that quote by Ted. I was cable before cable was cool.
Yeah. No, that's really great. Hey, our crack staff, by the way, found this picture of you at work there. Look at that guy, huh? Look at that guy, huh?
That's me. I remember that day. That young lady who was involved in a pretty awful crime. That photo was on a network program. I can't remember what it was, but my friend Steve texted me and said, "Hey, I just saw you." It was on one of the NBC, close up, whatever it's called. About that woman and that horrible crime that she was involved in. And so, yeah, there I was. I was famous for about 3 seconds. They showed that photo.
Well, you're still famous. You've done so much stuff over the years. And, you know, like in that picture showed, the camera was so heavy. And I still think a lot of the current news people still carry that heavy camera. I don't know why. They don't need to. But I guess it just looks cool, or they don't want to buy new equipment.
Well, you can't shoot football or a massive news conference with an iPhone. I mean, you can shoot a news conference if you're up right up on top of the person. And you always have to remember, doesn't it drive you nuts when you see people holding their camera like that?
Oh, I hate that.
Doesn't that make you crazy?
The vertical video. That's insane. I tell parents, like, you know, you're going to feel so bad in the future. You know, little Timmy's going to say, hey, Mom, where's my friend who was standing next to me? I remember him being next to me. Why isn't he in the video? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just don't get it. They think life is going to be, you know, in front of you the whole time. But future will tell them what was the wrong and bad.
Hopefully.
So tell me, after what did you do after, you know, you spent all the years? I mean, any special stories about when who you covered and any freaky things that happened?
Well, I mean, you know, we did Sports Roundup, and we did a lot of cool stuff at Cross Country Cable. And then I got in at New Jersey Network, started out as a studio cameraman at NJN up in Newark. And my goal was always to get into the newsroom. And so I would hang around the newsroom. I would hang around with the field videographers. I never saw myself as being a studio cameraman. I'm an outdoors guy.
Yeah.
And so as a studio cameraman, you got to fill in as a sound tech. And that's the guy who carries the deck and the shotgun microphone for the cameraman. And the first couple of times I went out on stories up in Newark. Now, keep in mind, I'm a part-time studio cameraman at the time. But I'm going out on news stories, and it was just really exciting. One story, there was a fire near the studio, and we got there, and I mean, the fire was, you know, going on. And back then, cops and firefighters, they didn't push you away two blocks away. We were right there. Another time we had to go, there was a report they found some gangster that got rubbed out. And so we went down by the train station, and the cops were right there, and the hood was open, and they didn't care that we were there. Maybe it's because it's North cops, not, you know, Hillsborough cops. And so they lift this guy out of the trunk, and I'm standing there watching this, and the cameraman, John Wynn, is shooting, and this poor fella, blood is pouring out of his face. And I'm like, what did I just see there? So that kind of stuff really gave me the news bug. And from there, you know, I worked as a sound tech for a number of years, and then I worked my way up. I got promoted to cameraman. And then I asked if I could produce my own segments. And they said, sure, we're not going to pay you anything extra, but if you want to produce stuff. And I thought the first thing I wanted to produce on my own was about recycling, because this was before recycling. Now recycling's all the rage. Recycling was not mandatory in 1988 when I pitched this story. Where was it, 87? And I lived in Somerset County, so we had mandatory recycling in Somerset County, but everywhere else it was volunteer. And so I lined up a bunch of different places to go to. I thought we would do it in sequence, you know, paper, glass, tin, and all these different things. And I teamed up with Michael Aaron, who is a pretty well-known character around New Jersey. And he was the reporter, but they allowed me to produce the segment and shoot the segment. And Michael wrote it and narrated it. And he said very nicely that the piece wrote itself because of the way I lined up all of the elements in different nights. It was a three-part series over three nights, paper, glass, cardboard. I can't remember how we divvied it up. So yeah, I did that. And a year later, I'm walking into the Newark studio, and Ron Wagner, a coworker and friend, says, hey, congratulations. I said, what? On what? He said, you got nominated for an Emmy Award. And those guys down in Trenton, you know, down, I worked in Newark down in Trenton. They were, you know, they submitted this for an Emmy, which a local Philadelphia Emmy, which was great. But they didn't mention it to me. And so I was very excited. And so my wife and I went down to the 88 Philadelphia Emmys. It was a big ceremony. And I thought, there's no way that I'm going to win an Emmy on my first time out. And we won. And so it was very, very exciting. Very.
Well, I congratulations on that. That's you know, something to achieve and to hold. Once you say you've got an Emmy, it's just has this glow around people, like an Oscar or whatever. And I know in the early, I think it comes down to early days of training in cable that we did, because we're kind of all just like thrown in as students, and we're given the freedom to discover and go, and nobody said you can't do that, and we're breaking ground everywhere. But it goes back to, I think, what you talk about Rutgers, early days of learning journalism, you know, the story, how the story should be built. And it's still today the success in anything, whether it's a commercial, which I do tons of, or videos, what we're doing today. It's a longer format story, but it's the story that gets the person. You know, you could have, like, I'm sure you've seen movies where all the big stars are in there and the total flop. They spend $100 million, it's trashed. Recent movie, they trashed before even went out. You know, then you have a movie that has nobody in it and it makes freaking tons of money because the story's captivating or it scares you or something. Somebody wants to say, hey, Tim, you got to see this. Let's go together. Let's watch this. Get friends. And the story is the thing. So the transition we'll make to the story is you as a filmmaker now, let's go into the story that you got involved with a very important gentleman who's been legendary in New Jersey for making great stories. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, Joe Albright is indeed a legend. You talk to any governor, any lobbyist, any staffer down at the New Jersey State House, and you say, Joe Albright. They all have a Joe Albright story. I saw Joe Albright. I saw Governor McGreevy, and I interviewed him for the documentary. When I was a senator, I would come out and I would see Joe, and he would invite me over and hand me some of the peanuts and some of the bird feed and invite me to feed the animals. So Joe Albright was a deeply religious man who was very serious about his job as a reporter and columnist for the Jersey Journal in Hudson County. And he took it upon himself on his way to and from the State House from his little apartment in Trenton, he brought bags of food and he called the animals that he encountered his angels. He called squirrels four-legged angels and he called birds two-legged angels. So that's Joe's concept of what's important in the world. He loved feeding the animals. He would pass out food and the squirrels, they would see him coming and they would scurry over to him. And as he was feeding them, you would always see Joe doing this. And you talk to anybody in Trenton and they say they remember seeing the man with the white hair and he was always doing this. He was always giving blessings because he felt so blessed in his life that he wanted to pass out blessings to everybody around him, including, you know, the buildings, the trees, the shrubs, and especially the animals and people walking past. So seeing this and working out of the State House, I mean, I got to know Joe, and I thought, somebody's got to do a story about him. Maybe it should be me, but I, you know, you're busy and, you know, I'm not going to do it. But then in 2017, an article came out in a publication. It's called the Columbia Journalism Review. That's the newspaper that everybody reads. All journalists read the Columbia Journalism Review. It says, meet St. Joseph, the longest serving State House reporter in America. And I thought, that's it. I've got to do that story. And so I was working at as a freelancer at the time because NJN went away. That's another story. So I was freelancing for Jersey Matters, which was a, you know, Me TV. They had a little New Jersey program. And I pitched it to Larry Menti, who was the anchor and host and managing director, I guess, of Jersey Matters. And he said, oh, that's great. I mean, really, all I had to do was send them the article in the Columbia Journalism Review. And they thought, yeah, do it. So Larry's wife, who was a reporter for the Jersey Matters, Dawn Menti, she did the piece. And I knew that I would overshoot it. And I told Joe, I said, Joe, I'm going to interview you and we're going to talk a lot. And I'm eventually going to make a documentary. And Joe said, yeah, whatever you want, whatever you want. So the segment which ran, which was, she put together, you know, a 3-minute segment, but I knew, as you know, when you're shooting stuff, you know, in the back of your head, you're going to do much more with this. Yeah. You shoot way more stuff. You just shoot and shoot and shoot. And I'm following Joe around, you know, with the iPhone. And at one point he said to me, don't you have enough of that? And I said, no, Joe, I told you I'm doing a documentary. And, it's, you know, it was 6 years in the making and here we are, we have a premiere. So I'm grateful that the folks at the Garden State Film Fest liked it and invited us to come and be part of the Garden State Film Fest.
What, Tim, like they say, if you want to set this clip up and we have a nice preview, I think about a minute and a half, 2 minutes long of what you talked about. So it's nice you explained it all, but I think it's better people see this and then, of course, come out to the festival and see the entire feature. So you want to set this up and we'll take a look. Go ahead.
All right. So, well, the trailer is really just talking with reporters and governors who you can't find a person who has anything bad to say about Joe Albright. Yeah. So, yeah, with that in mind, let's roll the trailer.
Well, before I do that, I want to put a little sort of Q&A for the youngsters out there. Listen for that first sound you hear, if you know what that is. And then also, what is that device that St. Joseph Star is using in this clip? So, okay, so you can answer that later or leave us a little message what that is. Listen for what you hear first. Wonder what that is.
Joe is a steady Eddie reporter. He knew and knows what's going on. He knows where the bodies, so to speak, are buried.
Joe was just amazing. He was a wealth of information.
Joe would feed pigeons, feed squirrels, any wildlife he would feed, and then he would bless them. I think the pigeons knew he was coming.
We call him Birdman. He feeds the birds since I was a little kid. Birds know when he come. Squirrels too, but I can tell you the birds love him more than the squirrels.
One thing about him, he was very well known for giving what available cash he had to the panhandlers in the Trenton Capital area, and there were many of them out there.
They called you St. Joseph and said you're the longest serving State House reporter in all of America.
That's what I'm told, yeah. That's my understanding, yeah.
What do you think about
it? I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm still here.
He's one of the nicest people on the planet in one of the toughest businesses in the world. Newspaper, journalism, and you're talking about journalism and politics in New Jersey, which is an even more concentrated form of difficulty.
He clearly was a legend when it comes to knowing the ins and outs of Hudson County politics, as well as Trenton politics. I mean, there came a point when he knew everything about everybody.
He represented the time when reporters really did their background. He had his eccentricities, feeding pigeons and things like that. We'd butt heads, but there was a respect.
Well, I've been feeding Cassie off and on for 20 years. I just got in the habit of feeding her. She learned to trust me. That's why I call her Trusty. I can't think of a better name.
I always knew that he was the cat guy, that he was like this really nice, sweet, humble man, somebody who cared for something more than he cared about himself.
He's out there feeding the squirrels and the cats. People may think that he's not together, but he's totally together. We'll talk to you about, you know, the very latest.
The assembly passed it, but the Senate withdrew it.
The sharpness is still there. He'll ask me questions about the budget down to the decimal point.
Joe Albright was one of those guys who understood the historical perspective, understood how difficult it was to be governor.
Hey, good to see you. Jimmy, you're looking great.
You as well.
Yes, thank you. God bless you, Jimmy, you're looking great.
You got the good work.
Hey, I'll try. I'll take care of my little cat.
A whole lot of friends.
Wow. I love those, the phone in the back, the push button phone, a lot of like cool stuff that exists. So you want to tell them what that noise was in the beginning before they, and what that device is for the youngsters out there watching?
Yeah. That. Imagine that, a typewriter. And one of the great sound bites, that's in the film that wasn't in the trailer is by a guy, John Reitmeier, who we just saw, who said that he would, that Joe would ask him questions about the budget down to the decimal point because they were roommates. They shared an office, Spotlight and Jersey Journal, for Joe on Press Row in the State House. But another soundbite that's in the film came from John Reitmeier, and he said, "I walk down the hall and I hear that sound, that thud of a typewriter, and I wonder what it was like when everybody used typewriters." Can you imagine if the all of Press Row back in the day in the 70s or whenever, and there was, you know, 30 or 40 typewriters? Well, yeah. When you know, even in the 1980s, everybody had word processors. But if you walked down the hall and you'd hear that pounding away, you knew that Joe was typing up his column or doing his story of the day.
Wow, it's like traveling back in time. So newsweneed.org/saint-joseph-film. That's where you find out all information about the film. You can still help contribute, I guess, funds toward the finishing of the film.
Yes.
And lots of information. Tell us when the premiere is again.
The premiere is March 25th, which is a Saturday. And we're in a block of films that starts at 2:45. So they said that our film is going to be like, I don't know, 4:19 or something, because there's short films.
Yes.
And so if you want to go see the film, I would get there for the beginning of the 2:45 block. But, you know, go on the newsweneed.org, St. Joe, and you can watch the trailer again. And all the information about the Garden State Film Fest is there. And check out other films that are going on. They have an incredible lists of stuff, and this is my first time, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it and honored to be a part of it.
No, that's very nice. And how did you begin making a film? I mean, it requires some funds to do that. Do you have an organization that helped you out to get the film going?
I started it on my own. I shot the package with Jersey Matters, and so the main sort of interview I got with Joe at his desk. Actually, I pre-interviewed him the day before Dawn, the reporter, came down to do her interview. And I said to him, do me a favor, wear the same blue shirt, that blue shirt that you see him wearing there. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. No problem, wear the same shirt. For Joe, he sometimes did that anyway. And so I interviewed him, and then Dawn came down the next day and she interviewed him. And I realized that I would have to go out and interview him in, you know, where he hangs out with the stray cat. That's a whole other story. The cat whose name Trusty. I named her Trusty because she learned to trust me. I can't think of a better name. Yeah, there's Trusty. And this is the most well-fed, well-cared-for cat you ever met. At this point, I'm told there are no less than 6 different couples or families who take care of this cat. They've built him a couple, 2 little houses, 2 huts. He uses both. They have figured out how to give him antibiotics and medicine in his food. So for a stray cat, the cat is very healthy. And wow. I used to say to Joe, before Joe passed away, I would say, Joe, you know, you don't have to give her that much food. He's like, oh, no, she'll eat it. And you don't tell Joe, you know, how to feed his cat.
Yeah.
And the fact that Joe was with us until he was 93 and we were able to celebrate his 93rd birthday when he celebrated it in March 22nd. Of 2022, a few months later in May, he passed away. But and the day that he died, actually, his final column ran because he was always 1 week ahead in putting in his columns.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, look, he's looking down on you. Look above there, Tim. See, he's right above you there, looking, checking, making sure you do the story correctly, because, you know, he knew how it was done correctly. I just love, one of the reasons I do this casual conversation, just hearing stories that you have, bringing people or kids back to the way it used to be. And journalism has kind of gone away from that, I think, in a lot of places. It's becoming somewhat political in some places, whatever people have. And it's like the story is always the king or the queen. You know, it's not all the garbage around it. Like, whatever it takes to do the story, get it done right, check your sources and all that stuff. And I'm hearing in places, well, they just throw a story up and nobody actually goes back and says, hey, Tim, did you actually say that? You know, do you still see that more often from all the years that you've been doing news, or what is your opinion?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the reporters have gotten much younger, but there's such pressure on them because of the internet age. Every reporter is expected to be a filmmaker with a phone. And every photographer now, like the guys who are still shooting for the Star Ledger and such, those guys are writing stories, which I think is great. Some of my friends are photogs, longtime photogs at the Ledger. And I love it that you see the article, they took the photos and they're wonderful photographers, but they can also write. I just love that.
Yeah.
But what you mentioned about the whole industry sort of just shrinking, and the folks who run the for-profits, they know that they can exploit these young people, make them do more, pay them less, because they want to have their face on TV. And that's unfortunate. In many ways, the world of Joe Albright, that was like the golden age at the State House. The final, one of the final sound bites of the documentary is from Jim Weinstein. Jim Weinstein is a guy who started out as a reporter at the Philly Bulletin, and he and Joe were reporters together on Press Row. Well, Joe stayed as a reporter on Press Row. Jim went on to become the commissioner of DOT, the head of New Jersey Transit under many different Republican administrations. And Jim Weinstein at the end says, you know, Joe is probably the last real reporter in New Jersey, something like that. And, or he said, in many ways, Joe Albright is the last real newsman in New Jersey. And I loved that. And so I went out on that bite. And then, you know, after that bite, Joe Albright says, I love my job. I'm very grateful for the job I've had all these years, something like that. And that's the end. And unfortunately, you know, I was putting this thing together, racing against time. COVID came along. I was hoping to have the thing done.
Oh, they're calling you already.
hoping to have the thing done before he passed away, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great interview, and I hope you had a lot of fun here. And tough question from me as a reporter on this side. You have to play the person being interviewed, because that's what you're doing today instead of being behind the camera. So how was this interview? More than what you expected, less? Tell me about your opinion beyond casual conversations.
I loved it. I would do it. I will do it again for my next project. Thank you. I appreciate it. You did a great job. And whoever taught you when you were an intern did a good job.
Were you there? Well, we all talk. We learned from each other. I think that's what it was. Yeah. Other people we know are still around and grateful for their time and effort they put into us interns and college students and everything to make us what we are today. And I think sharing great stories, your story, sharing St. Joseph. Again, tell us when the premiere is one more time.
March 25th. It's at the Berkeley Carteret Hotel, March 25th, 2:45. That's a Saturday, the Garden State Film Festival.
And you can go to newsweneed.org/saint-joseph-film, and you can check all that out anytime you want. And this is recording this in 2023, by the way, okay? So in case you watch it in the future or you listen to it. And thanks again, Tim, for being a great guest on Casual Conversations.
Thank you.